God's not nearly as mild-mannered as we think he is. He's a gentleman, unquestionably. Good father, unquestionably. But he's not afraid to open the door and kick fear out and keep it out so that other things can happen. And so, Lord, we just want to give you permission to interrupt what we're doing today in any way that you would like to. And if you want to pass through and touch somebody and bring them to health and healing, we just want to say, please let us get in on that. Work with us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Okay. Well, we talked about angels last week. So why stop, I guess? But I just stopped. I had two verses that I wanted to read, and it took me an hour to get there. And so we're going to start right there at that same point, which would be Psalm 103. But I want to, I have a few quotes that we put together. Angels are so misunderstood, and it's really interesting if you go, I checked, you know, like Christian sources, but I just went online and looked at what people had to say about angels, and people are nuts. Some of the ideas about angels, and a whole bunch of people think that that's what happens to you when you die, is you go to be an angel. No, you can't. We judge angels. We were in a prayer room, and I said, you know, here's the truth. The Bible says a lot of stuff about angels, but what it says about you and me is that we are created in the image of God, and it never says that about any angel. So angels are essentially kind of servants, messengers, right? And they're here for our benefit and to glorify God. Like George Bernard Shaw says this, in heaven, an angel is nobody in particular. Like, you say, I saw an angel, or there was an angel. Awesome. They're supposed to be here and do things like that. But in heaven, oh yeah, that's one of those guys. They don't have, like, they're not like an inch below God or anything like that. Are you with me? They're created beings for created purpose. And we have this idea of something different. That's just not the way it is. Angels have no interest in being worshipped themselves. They're totally absorbed with God. That's really true. And throughout the scriptures even, and throughout history, you find lots of people who created religions or philosophies or whatever that included worshiping angels. This is going on in Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. They pretty much said, hey, God's really busy, and he's like way higher than you are. And he's not going to meet with a plumber, you know. He has no interest in somebody like you. So you're going to have to find an angel to pray to and let the angels go to God for you. Jesus said he created this new and living way for us to get to God. So why would people believe that? Well, people are human and act like it sometimes. Billy Graham says, believers, look up. Take courage. Angels are nearer than you think. And that wasn't like a warning. It was like an exhortation. We should benefit from the work that angels want to do on our behalf. John Calvin says, under Christ as the head, angels are the guardians of the church. C.T. Cook says, the Bible assumes rather than asserts the existence of angels, just like it does with the fact of God himself. The Bible didn't try to prove God is God. They just said, oh, by the way, God's God. And you assume that that's the case, and same way with angels. According to the scriptures, the angels praise God chiefly for two things. One, God's creation of the world, and secondly, God's redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. We should be like them in that regard. Billy Graham again, I am convinced that these heavenly beings exist and that they provide unseen aid on our behalf. I also believe in angels because I've sensed their presence in my life and on special occasions, Like when the Christian dies, an angel will be there to comfort us, to give us peace and joy at that most critical hour, and usher us into the presence of God, whom we shall dwell with forever. And Billy Graham's kind of been the spokesman of the last generation for Christianity, and his book, which was written, it was 75, is still the best-selling book on angels out there. Man lives in the middle of a supernatural world. Everything that seems empty is filled with the angels of God, and there's no place that is not inhabited by them. Angels do not only protect the soul, they continue through the whole course of our lives to protect us from the attacks of the enemy, the devil, and to participate in the progress of our lives. We rob ourselves of much joy if we forget the loving and caring presence all around us of the angels of God. Have you ever walked into a place, walked into a room or something, and just, you know, had that kind of crisp, clean, it felt good to be in there? And sometimes, now, of course, the Spirit of God present always, but manifestly present in ways. I'm trying not to use anybody's name. Here I am, not using anybody's name. A particular friend of mine would walk into a room, and he filled up the whole room. I mean, he would just instantly, it's like turning the lights on, even though the lights were on. Just the guy was kind of, I think he was a little full of himself, honestly, but he filled the room up pretty good. You were aware of the presence of this person from the time he walked into the room. Sometimes that's the way it is if angels are present. They're just that kind of crispness, freshness, light, like that. I've seen that happen where there weren't any more lights to turn on, but all of a sudden there were more lights on. You know, I thought, well, I'm slow, but I'm not that slow. Something has illuminated this room. Now, so are we trying to do? We're trying to pin down angels? No, it's just to recognize the fact that there are unseen witnesses all around us. Bad guys too, right? I mean, right? I have two things I do at Christmas time. I watch Alistair Sims Scrooge, which if you don't watch all those other ones, Alistair Sims is the best one. And I got a witness. and then I watch It's a Wonderful Life. Jimmy Stewart. Anyway, and there's a scene where Scrooge is having a visitation from his former business partner, and he's come back to try to help him a little bit, and so it's Marley, and he's got all these chains and stuff. And then all of a sudden he just lets out this scream, and he looks out the window, and he can see a poor young lady trying to keep a baby warm in the snow, and there are all sorts of things threatening, trying to kill and throw and hurt this mother and her child, but they're all invisible. Marley can see him, and he's permitted here to help Scrooge see him, because this is how it always is. It's like these guys, they're here all the time. Evil's constantly being evil, because it can't be anything but evil. And the angels of God are here dispatched to do the things that the angels are dispatched to do, which is to minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. Well, what do? I lost my angel handbook. I don't know. But they minister to us. They help us. Sometimes they just keep you from doing stupid human stuff, or you don't make that idiotic choice that you were about to make, you know, or you make a choice and went, oh, what a wonderful thing. Why didn't I think of that before? Well, maybe you were getting some help. Are you with me? And so this is a natural, normal thing. Paul talks about wars that are happening in the second heavens, where principalities and powers, entities that have spiritual dominion over geographical areas, Prince of Persia, all these things that you've heard mentioned. Well, that just didn't happen when the Bible was being written. Nothing new under the sun, right? These things go on all the time. And so we constantly need the help that the Lord created angels to be. And it would be foolish not to take advantage of the help that the Lord provides through angels. Now, that's took me 20 minutes to say that last week, but that's really what I want to talk to you about, because I think he wants us to experience everything he has for us. We just heard, he wants to show you something you haven't seen before. Well, you might need some help getting there. Of course, the Spirit of God lives in you. He can quicken you. But you know, how many of you know your mind doesn't get renewed like overnight? Yes. And if you're married, it takes longer than that. Kind of kidding. But this process of being able to think more like the Lord is the Holy Spirit quickening the Word of God and bringing revelation, illumination, understanding to us, so we can see things differently, so we can choose things differently, and those things change outcome. And along the way, if the Lord wants to send visible or invisible messengers of fire, winds, in some places, he says there, our messengers are like winds. Didn't say windy, it said winds. I want you to catch that. The idea is he's here to help us. He's here to help us. And he's dispatched those whom he created for this purpose. Okay? So that's the review. But I want you, it's not unimportant. Well, what do we do? Well, I know a couple of years ago now, maybe three, I was doing a little praying along this idea, and the Lord just kind of McFlyed me, you know, like, hey, pay attention here. And he said, have you considered the invisible angelic armies of the Lord? And when the Lord asks you something like that, he's being kind and telling you, it's about time that you considered, paid more attention to, right? And I said, well, okay, talk to me about it. And we, you know, read a few verses, and I'd read a couple of books, and essentially, here was my task. He said, I want you to ask and expect angelic intervention. And I said, well, they're invisible. Makes them a little hard to see, you know. How am I going to know? And he said, you just ask and expect to experience angelic intervention. No, that was it. There wasn't a, you know, Roman numeral 2 or 3. There was just that. And I thought, okay. And I, you know, man, I've been saved for 40 years or something at the time. I'm thinking, how did I miss that? Well, I went back through journals and stuff, and I have always kind of prayed some of those things. But it told me that, A, he wanted me to receive what was being released from heaven on my behalf, and B, I might not like the outcome if I didn't take advantage of the help that he was releasing from heaven. Does that make sense? Okay. And so I went back, and I have I don't remember when, 40 years ago or so, I picked up Psalm 103, and I want to touch this again, because I think these verses do more to help us expect and look for angelic intervention. Psalm 103, this is verses 19 through 21. And I'm probably going to read both Amplified and New American Standard. But the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels. So one of the things that angels do is bless the Lord. That's like worship. Well, we're partners in this. We do too. Angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word. So one of the things they do is flex their God-given muscles to perform the word of God, to act on the word of God. Mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. So, performing his word and doing his will. Well, what's the difference between those two? Not very much. Performing his word, doing his will. And he said, what do? They pay attention to what the Lord says. One version says, they hearken to your voice. So not only are they after the will of the Lord, they are after the word of the Lord. Harrison says, these angels, powerful beings who execute his commands and listen to his utterances. Jerusalem Bible says, heroes, mighty to enforce his word, attentive to his word of command. Attentive to his word of command. So here's the deal. I want to pray and I want to connect with the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what you're telling angels. I don't know what commands you're releasing to them. But anything that's got my name on it, I want to say yes to that. I want to concur with that. I like to say it. I want to get those angels off the unemployment lines and get them doing the work of stuff that we need done here. Because that's what they were created for. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Moffat says, you servants, speaking of angels, who carry out his will. What are they going to do? They're going to carry out the will of God. You'll find the will of God in the word of God. In fact, sometimes you can't separate the will of God and the word of God, can you? That's what they do. So I understood even more than I thought I understood. I need to pray the word of God because they hear it. And it says they give attention to and they fulfill, they act on the word of the Lord. Now, if he's speaking it, they're free to do it. But that doesn't keep us from speaking it. Because sometimes he kind of likes us to grow up and do some of those things that he wants us to do. They're mighty in strength to perform his word, to obey the will of the Lord. Harrison says this, bless the Lord, you who constitute his armies to perform his will. Angels constitute, put together the armies of God, formed of angels. Why? To do the stuff he wants done. Too. But they constitute armies. How can I say this? You don't need to constitute armies to have an ice cream social or a picnic. Armies are usually released for battle. Right? And so when you feel like you're in a fight, that's probably because you are. It's not a bad thing to say, Lord, I'm asking you to assemble angelic armies to act on our behalf. And I speak to the angelic armies and say, we need this. The Bible says this about you, and I want to release you to go fulfill your destiny because your destiny is to be an army of God that overcomes the pressures of darkness and the enemy. Does that make any sense? It'll give you new constitution because we're not in this alone, right? Not only are we not in it alone, outcome changes when stuff like that takes place. Bless the Lord, all you his armies, you his servants who continually do what pleases him. Have you ever don't you get to those places saying, man, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. What do you think the Lord wants me to do? I said, I think he wants you to find out from him what he wants you to do. But he says, they constantly, continually do the will of God. So it's not a bad thing to speak to the angels and say, listen, here I am, an heir of salvation, one that you're supposed to minister to, one that the aid of heaven comes through to the church, to the people of God. And we could use some here. And so I release you to do your destiny, what you're made to do, what you're called to do, and that's to come and minister to us who are the heirs of salvation. Well, where does it say pray that? Just try it and see how it works. Right? Jesus battled 40 days with the enemy, and then he left. And the angels came and did whatever they did to minister to Jesus. Well, what'd they do? Doesn't say. Just said, and they ministered to Jesus. I'd have liked to have like a footnote or something on that. I mean, like, so here's what I've done. I said, oh, Lord, you face the devil face to face. There's only one of them, you know. So he wasn't messing with minions. He was messing with the devil for 40 days. That's way more days than anybody should ever have to mess with. And then angels came to minister to him. I always thought that was a fascinating verse. And so I've said, Lord, for whatever purpose the angels came to minister to you, send angels to minister to us. Oh, man, what are you getting? Don't care. Don't care. This is bread straight from the oven, honey. I mean, we're getting, can you imagine Jesus having a need? He was purely human, right? But they came and said, Oh, perfect one, we've come to make it better. Huh? I mean, that's crazy language, but it's true. And I can't imagine that any of the 12 heard what the angels said or did, or it had been all through the Bible. You know, because they would say, well, I heard the angels say, you know, that kind of stuff. But I think that's a really safe passage to pray. Lord, what did you need? What did the Father's heart desire for you after you came and in 40 days fought the enemy and expressed the Word of God over and over and over? That's all he did, was express the Word of God. Am I not right? What did the angels do? They obey the Word of God. They're mighty in strength to perform it. Well, Lord, here I am. I don't even know which passage to pray. But I'm praying this, you can inform them. And I'm asking you to have me pray from here what you're speaking from there. So they are released from here and from there unto your purpose. You shouldn't have to live with my mind right now. I'm like on 10 with the lid off blender, you know, stuff going. Jesus received, listen to me, received something from the heart of heaven through angelic emissaries. And I'm thinking, oh, that's open territory. He never said we didn't need that or couldn't have that. I'm asking. I want to put myself in the place where whatever the care package from heaven was, whatever the heart of the Father was towards the Son on that in that moment, oh, Lord, if it would be blessing to him, my goodness, what would that do for us? Come, Lord. Send your angels, Lord. Release them with that strength that you've given them to do your will, to fight your war, to defend your people, to honor you and bless you. All these good things that they do. And I look at that and I think, oh, wow. How could that be a bad thing? So, line in sand. Nobody worships angels. Nobody. Nobody's supposed to. The Bible says that the day is coming that we will actually judge what the angels do. So we're in the pecking order there. What does that mean? It simply means that there's a new day coming, and it's not going to be like it was. New heaven, new earth, all those kind of things. And the angels are going to work with us and for us, but not the other way around. Well, that's arrogant. No, it's Bible. And so, angels, listen to me. Haven't you ever thought that verse was strange? I'll put the lid back on now. Just a minute. I'll start to go tender. But haven't you ever considered it strange where it says in the Corinthians that women should have their heads covered because of the angels? See, I always thought, no, that'd be guys, because all those bald heads shining out would be, you know. And I was just praying one day, and I said, Lord, somebody's going to ask me about this. And here's what I just said, oh, this makes sense to me. So this is what I use. It might not be right, but I got the mic. The angels understand authority. Big time. And that picture of a woman with her head covered was an exercise, a display of recognizing authority. And he said, on account of the angels, they're going to understand if they look in on your gathering, oh, everything's in order here. Because those things are, they're covered. It means, you know, your husband, all that kind of stuff. And I thought, that's really good, because there was a time when angels and authority got mixed up. That's all been cleared out. That's like that door that Charles was talking about, and everything got ushered out. And they get it. They understand authority. That's why they do the will of God. And that's why they obey the word of God. Because those represent the power and authority of God, don't they? And we can pray ourselves right into that same situation. I'll walk up here and see if it looks any different. I think there's a place in prayer for us to send. We don't pray to angels, you pray to the Lord, right? And then you can take your authority from the word of God, because angels listen to the voice of the Lord. I'm going to give voice to the word of the Lord. And when I give voice to the word of the Lord, I'm giving them a new way to respond to the voice of the Lord and to act out on their destiny. Are we good? So, you don't pray to angels, but you can, just like you would pray for someone who is sick and command and speak to the disease or to the sick part of the body. This is no different. Same kind of concept. So angels are mighty in strength. They perform his word. They obey the voice of his word. So in prayer, we can call on the mighty strength of angels and give them the word of God to perform, to act on, and we can give them the voice to obey. Angels serve him and us by doing his will according to his word. See, I think that's a partnership. I think we're joining with God doing what he's doing, because he's releasing, talking about angel armies. You know, here's Elisha, and he's got his number one servant with him, and looks like they're going to get creamed. Big armies. And he says, oh Lord, open his eyes. And what do they see? Hosts of fiery chariots and horses, and there were more with them than there were against them. And the only thing is that they were invisible. But the servant quit biting these nails at that point. You know, he's like, got it. See, the Lord has those people prepared, ready to do what needed to be done, right? There's an old song, speaking of Jesus. He could have called 10,000 angels. And I always wanted to say, but he didn't have to. They were already ready already. Right? It says, he had already said, my kingdom's not of this world. Okay, then we'll stay in the other world. But would that have worked? Was there any reason for them to fear the Roman army? No. Just the wrong time and place for things to happen. I think it's so interesting. I wish I had time to do it, but Peter gets in jail, right? He's in jail, and he's chained between two Roman soldiers. And I was, way back when I was doing youth ministry, I was teaching that chapter, And I said, and here's Peter, and he's chained between these two big Roman, you know, military officers. And one kid said, I bet they stunk. I said, well, that was where I was going, you know, but. And I thought, yeah, I bet they did too. But Peter, with the self-control he had, was able to go to sleep anyway. But an angel shows up, and he doesn't wake up the officers. They didn't wake up. And, you know, Peter wakes up, and, wow, what are we going to do now? He said, well, come on. And then he said, well, you know, get your chains off, and then pick up your coat. He really does, telling that, don't forget this. And then they opens one door, and they go to another door and open that, and he said, they don't wake up when he... Peter didn't realize it was an angel till they were out on the street and the angel left. And I thought, that's really interesting, because there were prayer meetings going on to release Peter from jail. How did that happen? The Lord released angels who were mighty in strength, who perform his word, and who obey the voice of his word, and just jumped right in there and worked him right out. Now, why is that significant? Well, because angelic ministry was the answer to their prayers. Were they praying for angels? I don't know. Wasn't at the meeting, right? But they're praying, oh, Lord, whatever it takes to get him out. And then he shows up, Peter, at the house where they're praying, and this little Rhoda girl, the servant girl, answers the door because he's knocking on the door. And she says, oh, Peter. So she runs in the house and interrupts the prayer meeting. She said, he's like he's here. I said, no, we're praying to get him out of jail. By the word of faith, we're getting him out of jail. I love that. And then this strange answer comes. Oh, it's probably just his angel. And she didn't think anything strange about that answer. She said, I'm kind of thinking it's really him. And they come to the porch, and it's really him. But this is one of the chief places where people find the explanation about guardian angels. And it doesn't say anything about the guardian angel being between the guards in the prison. But when he's out, they really thought, oh, I think they kind of thought, well, at least we prayed his angel in. You know, isn't that a strange thing? And so, well, what does that mean? Well, either they'd seen an angel with Peter before, or they'd seen an angel with Peter before and he looked like Peter. Well, we need to read more about that. There's nothing more to read. It doesn't say a blessed thing more. That's just it. That's all it says. But if you get the 50,000-foot view, God's spokesman, Peter, is in jail. The church is crying out. We command, we demand, we proclaim, you know, whatever prayers. And the Lord said, okay, awesome. That's what I want too. Since the angel does the stuff that they prayed for. And then Peter shows up at the door, but they think it might be his angel. I thought, see, the Bible is just so not concerned about whether or not I understand everything. Are you with me? Well, why would it say maybe it was his angel? And the answer to that is, well, maybe they thought it was. It doesn't say, well, does everybody have one of those? Do they all look like the one that they hang around with? You know? And my answer, the Lord loves people too much to have one look like me, is what I told them. But, and of course, my answer is, dude, no, I'm like, I got a posse.
Yes.
You know, I'm probably going to get in places. I'm going to get in places where one's not going to do me a whole lot of good. Yeah. And so you got, you know, your guys. That wasn't an abnormal thing that an angel would show up or be known as someone who accompanied and helped Peter. Am I making a clear point? So, well, why are you making such a big deal of it? Because they thought it was normal. They did not consider this something odd or strange or spooky. Right? Well, what does that mean? I don't know. I just know that it wasn't odd for them when Peter came and told them the story about the angel showing up and helping him get out of jail. You know somebody's in the back of the room going, that's what I prayed. I prayed that. I had that word. I prayed Psalm 27. And come on. You know that's happened. There are human beings in there. But they weren't saying, oh, wait a minute. This is bad theology. You got angels in here. No, 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 no. And I'm sure Peter was quick to remind them, remember, they showed up and held Jesus, remember? I mean, he needed it. All I'm trying to bring around to this is that I think it's the Lord's desire for us to expect and invite angelic intervention. I spent all this time saying all that, but I really believe that's true. Well, I don't know quite how to do it. I don't know quite how to do it either. But you're safe as can be when you're praying the will of God and the word of God, because that's what angels are involved with. He said they are constantly obeying the will of God. Well, I think the church would be great if we were constantly obeying the will of God. Wouldn't it be great to include entities, ministers from heaven, who are on the same page and want the same outcome and the same result? Oh, man. Well, the Chiefs don't play till like tonight, do they? Oh. Yeah, you go. There's an excuse. I'll just come back for this next time if I don't do it now. So I'm putting my book away and I'm going to close with this. It really ticks me off that we hear and talk and read and pray way more against demons than we do for angels. I'm going to start preaching if we aren't careful. Well, a third of the angels had an exit interview like the devil did. Gone. Which means two-thirds of them didn't come down. Well, how many angels are there? Hey, I was an English major, not a math major, but I can help you here. Do you think every person has a guardian angel? I think every Christian does. I can't say that about every person, but I don't know that. Since God loves everybody, I wouldn't be opposed, but I got Bible on the fact that Christians do. Okay? Now, so how many Christians do you suppose there are in the earth? Not enough. That's good. Couple billion? Something like that? Now look at me. Couple billion. That's a passel. I mean, that's a lot. Oh, and they all have an angel? Dude, that's twice as much. Where are we going to put them all? Right? As a matter of fact, they're equipped better than the one that's against us. Why? Because they are subjected to the Lord to obey his voice and do his will, which is the most powerful stuff there is in the universe. So, and I'm cool. I was at a meeting one time. This is funny, but I forgot where, anyway. I was in a meeting, pastor's meeting, a couple hundred of us, and we had to make a decision about what we were going to do. As a matter of fact, we were in Birmingham, of all places, and there was a kind of a leadership team, maybe 50 of us or something like that, and saying, well, we need to do this, or we need to do this. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And I'm way over here, like back where I stand, because we're in this big room, and somebody said, hey, Brown, what do you think? And I said, I'm cool. The guy said, I know that. What do you want to do? I said, I love you. I'll quote you. The idea is, if we all have a guardian angel, and there's billions of us, oh my goodness. So if you're going to worship God, You have to do it in spirit and truth, right? He's immortal, eternal, and invisible, right? So, well, I'm not going to believe an angel until I see one. I don't think the Lord really cares, because he's sending them anyway. But he would like to get you in on it, right? Well, are angels always invisible until they're seen? Yes. I told you a story about the Sunday school little girls praying for me that I'd see angels. And I said, well, I see you guys. No, that's not what. But they saw angels all over the place. And I said, well, good for you. Don't quit that. Well, why don't you? And I said, I'm special needs. But I'm a little leery of people seeing angels all the time in places where I don't know that they're there. I've had a number of people come up and talk to me. There was a 30-foot angel behind you today. And I said, really? I like that now. I don't know what I would have done if I knew that then. You didn't see him? I said, well, I am kind of looking this way. Well, I had that happen. I mean, I've had that a lot. See, I thought, well, of course, because he's here loving on people. He's here ministering to people. And I don't have to know what he's doing all the time, right? I just know that we want to graduate. We want to increase our dimensions here. We want to be spiritually more in depth or alert. And these are spiritual things going on. And so why would it be strange for angels to include themselves, right? And why wouldn't it be a time where we should know and appreciate what the Lord has done about angels? Because I tell you, especially in the last 100 years, the Lord's had to listen to a whole bunch of stuff about demons. Because more books written, more movies presented. I mean, it is. Now, you can't get rid of a demon without talking to it. You know, I mean, it's not that you don't acknowledge that they exist. But why should the enemy and his guys, who are only half of the army that the Lord uses all the time, why should they get 80% of the attention? It's a little bit like reverse worship. Having that. Is everything that's wrong a demon? Well, if you think so, it is. Is everything that's wrong a demon? Some stuff is. Right? You know? I know I had a friend. He is so funny. He needed a battery for his car. Because I jumped him 2 or 3 times, so I knew firsthand he needed a battery for his car. And I drove by one day, and it was raining, and he was out there laying hands on that battery in the rain. So I pulled over, and he said, do you want me to jump in? No, I'm going to stay here and pray until the car starts. And I said, good for you, dude. I'm going home. And he said, well, he was trying to cast a demon out of the battery. It was like a 24-month battery, and he'd had it for 28 months. I mean, it was obsolete. It was gone. There wasn't any, it was dead lead, man. There wasn't anything in there. But I really appreciated him. He really felt like the Lord told him to pray for that man. And about 2 hours later, that stinking car started. Now, I don't think it was a demon. I think just the Lord said, I'm tired of listening to you. I mean, kind of. But don't get caught up in the fact that that we don't let demonology overtake your understanding or your desire to understand the ministry of angels. That's all. I just think we get a raw deal. I think it's a raw deal for the Lord, having set up all these guys. And when I say guys, I don't know. Are there female angels? I don't know. 50-50. They don't get married, so it doesn't matter, right? So there's no giving in marriage and that kind of stuff with angels. Because see, if angels got married, then they'd spend all the time talking about their situation and not ours. You better get me a shovel, Gertz. But One of the reasons I've been wanting to teach on angels is that it really does bother me how much attention we give to the bad guys. And we need to be understanding of what the Lord has provided for us. And it's like we negate it, or we don't pay enough attention to it. Why don't we all stand? I just said so many more things I want to do. I wouldn't do that to you, I don't think. I'm not going to take a minute. I am going to read your verse. This is one of those you just can't miss it. And this caught my eye again a few weeks ago, and I said, I think you might be trying to tell us something here. If you go back into the Old Testament and look at the places, where angelic appearances are, oftentimes it's Gabriel or it's Michael. There's a name attached, trying to give connection, I think, for people. And then sometimes it just doesn't happen at all. I just thought this was interesting. Judges 13, see where I did it with it here. It's Manoah, and he is going to be Samson's father here before too long. And, and the angel shows up, I'll just tell the story, and he's not there. Just his wife is there. And I found that this is very strange. Her name is never mentioned. And so she goes and tells Manoah, hey, this guy from God showed up. And he says, I'm going to have a baby. Well, he's concerned about it. He says, well, who was it? And what did he say? So he gets down on his knees and says, Lord, whomever you sent to talk to my wife, send them to talk to me. And a little bit later, the angel shows up again, only Manoah's not there. So she says, wait right here. She runs and gets him. And he comes back in and he said, are you the one who spoke to the woman? Still doesn't mention her name. It's just so strange. He goes, yep. Did you tell her this? Yep. He said, well, what are we going to do? What are we supposed to do? He said, let me kill a goat and all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, you can fix anything you want. You have to offer it to the Lord. I'll have no part of it. Would you wait? Because I need to hear from you what I'm supposed to do after the child is born. And it says the story has the strangest ending. So they go perform the sacrifice, burn the offering, and it says that while they were giving the offering and Manoah and his wife were watching, the angel performed many signs and wonders. And that's all it says. And then, of course, the baby's born. They ask the angel, what's your name? And the angel gives this great answer. He said, why would you ask, seeing that it's wonderful? so you want to take a little of the, and didn't ever say, and didn't ever ask her what the name was. But just out of the blue, they're doing the sacrifice and they step back. And then it says, and the angel performed many signs and wonders. All there was Mr. and Mrs. Manoah. Nobody else to see it. Nobody else. And she's still nameless in the situation. But that was proof that the angel was sent from God. So they would be able to have Samson and make him be a Nazarite, and all these Nazarites' hard vow to take and keep and all that kind of stuff. And he even addresses the woman and says, you can't drink any booze, you can't drink any wine, you can't drink any liquor, and because we don't want the kid to. And he still doesn't call her by name. I just think it's so strange. But what did the angel do to attest to this couple in the Old Testament who didn't have the Holy Spirit living in them? What did he do to validate to them that everything they were hearing was from God? He did signs and wonders for them, before them, because there wasn't anybody, sick there to get healed. There wasn't anybody demonized to get delivered. Well, what did he do? Signs and wonders. Well, what does that mean? I don't know, some kind of sign that makes you wonder. Let's think about that for just a minute. He cared enough, I'm saying he being God, cared enough to read the people and recognize they won't raise the kid right, and I won't have the prophet I'm looking for unless they understand that I'm in this thing big time. So, whoosh. I don't know what happened, but all it says was he did signs and wonders. Sometimes I think we might miss something because we might be selling things short. Am I making sense to you?
Yes.
That story is so gripping to me because there was nothing to gain on God's part. Nobody to see it, nobody to write it down, nobody to say how wonderful it was what he did. Signs and wonders. That was it. But something happened in here with those guys saying, oh, this wasn't just like an aberration. This was the angel of the Lord. And he did stuff that we can't do. And so, Lord, I'm asking for each of us today that you would invade our space. How many of us need you to come or to send a messenger to do things we just haven't been able to do? And we don't know how important today is. I'm not so sure they did either, but when that angel showed up and did these amazing, wonderful things, it changed mom and dad's life so that the prophetic things spoken to them about their son would come from a point of recognition and not just some idea or some philosophical concept, but it was no, son, when the angel showed up, he did this and this and this, and these are signs of what you will do. Huh? So, Lord, I don't know what everybody in their own heart would say, but today I'm asking that you would give us the capacity to cooperate with you as it pertains to the angel armies, as it pertains to these messengers who come to minister to those of us who are the heirs of salvation. Lord, we don't want to cast aside or put aside or sell short anything that comes from you. And these things come from you. And Lord, we would love to have to be like people in the Bible that says, oh, I don't know. It just came and this happened. But it was wonderful. Lord, would you just come and touch each of us? And I pray that we would have the capacity to experience you and the ministry of angels, which is all throughout the Bible, go through Hebrews and all this kind of stuff. We don't want to miss anything you have for us. And we want to be able to glorify you and honor you for things that happen that we might better ascribe to you now, since we've taken a look at what angels do. Lord, we love you. And we are so delighted that you don't just stop where we understand, but you go all the way to the realization of the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.